Monday, October 17, 2022, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 2:45, Dakota County Board of Commissioner meeting at 3 o'clock p.m.
Larry, I heard you had an iPhone.
A what?
You got an iPhone now.
Yeah, no. I've had it for quite a while, but I just can't seem to get things to work out for me.
Oh, you can't?
But the damn thing. Too many
things. It's 2:45.
Mine says 2:45. That's why I asked about your iPhone.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Scott Love is absent. Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Yeah, we'll just meet now and we'll consent agenda items.
Read that.
Oh,
read that first.
Current copy of the open meetings. That is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county courtroom, or county boardroom. Meeting room and is available for view by all citizens and attendants. Our Board of Equalization reserves the right to adjust the order of items on this agenda if necessary. Item number one is consent agenda. Approve of the previous minutes, September 19th, 2022.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the September 19th meeting.
Second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
New business. Under new business, A, levy the necessary taxes for the current year and certify all levies.
Okay, everybody has submitted their budget to the county clerk's office. The dark bold type is what you are certifying. In blue, like Emerson and Ponca, they're certified by Dixon County. So you're certifying the dark, bold, black. Those are the budgets that are filed with the county clerk's office to be certified.
And all of these, there's no particular thing that we need to be watching for on them?
I double check. What I do is enter their value, enter their tax request, and then double check that they came up with the same levy I did in their in a budget computation.
Okay.
So, and everything.
And then if they were above the 20%, then you had to turn it. But other than that, you didn't have
to.
I noticed the Ag Society went down quite a bit. I was thinking they had a special project they were going to do this year, but okay, that's good.
Well, their tax request.
Not the egg, the historical.
Oh.
The horde, the historical, yeah.
Oh.
It's about the same.
Yeah.
It's about the
Their
same.
Tax request went up a smidge, but because of that large value,
it
helps. That
it
levy went down.
Okay.
Yep. So that first column there is the new levies, and then that second column you can compare to last.
I make a motion, we accept it as is.
Second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Janice?
Yes.
Under new business, item B, Christie, we want to pick it up there.
So I have two tax corrections. They are for, they're two homestead properties, so there's really not much we.
Are we jumping down to taxless corrections?
Oh, are we doing that one, or which one are we doing first?
No.
Oh, the AGCO?
Yeah, the AGCO.
No, Chris, the clerical error on the personal property.
Oh, Mr. AGCO.
Okay.
So, AGCO Finance contacted us and said they wanted a refund on their 2021 filing. Let me read that page. They said they reported Kevin Pedersen as having a piece of equipment, and I guess this is his equipment he keeps in Iowa. I don't know how we can do this, because if we give them a copy back once we filed it, and this is what they filed with us, that he had the piece of equipment at his house, if we send back a copy to them, they have 30 days to respond to tell us, hey, no, it's an error. They didn't. Now they're claiming they want a refund because the piece of equipment's not there.
And that would have been when, Christy?
21 and 22.
Okay.
So they're trying to do it for both years, and I just think it's a bunch of bull. But they have to. They wrote a letter to the board or the treasurers requesting a refund, claiming that it's not there, which I'd like to see that it's not there, but whatever.
Have you had any like this before?
We're having a few. They called again like 2 weeks ago, and now we're saying a piece of Scott Bosquez is in Iowa. And they haven't gotten back to us. So this is a new thing they're pulling.
But the 30-day thing is a key.
We give them, yeah, that's like kind of a, they can protest it, I guess. But we give them 30 days to respond once we give them back a copy. That will change it, no problem. But they're the ones that signed to us, signed it saying, hey, yeah, we have this. This is, and Scott's are going to go back to 19. And I think it's a bunch of hooey. So, I don't know.
This thing says UTEC.
That's other people in that district. Greg UTEC's is off. I think he got rid of whatever he had. So it's Kevin Pedersen's. Supposedly it's a.
So what's the date, Christy, when you certify? Is it January when you get this information and then
they have to file this by May 1st.
Okay, and.
So as soon as we get it, we put it in, send them back a copy, and say, hey, does everything look okay? And nobody got back to it.
So they basically have till July 1st.
So they can protest, yeah. I don't know what their protest date is, but they can, but they never did. So now all of a sudden, a year later, we're saying, oh, no, wait a minute, we made a mistake.
Who actually owes the taxes?
They AGCO pays them, and then they charge Kevin Pedersen. It's like a copy release. It's kind of a lease.
Well, how did UTEC on North Bluff Road get on this form I got here?
Yeah, he's on there because he's in that same tax district. That's just everything they have in that tax district.
So who is it? Who do you?
I might have not got all the pages or something. No.
Who do you work with then? Revenue? Department of Revenue?
Yeah, they
sent
me what I needed to do, and I've told them what they needed to do, and they supposedly this letter is sufficient, but I'll do whatever you want me to do. It doesn't matter to me either way. I just think they're just pulling the
very,
Iowa doesn't have personal property.
So on the very back page is a statute.
So they've done.
Allowing them to amend it when required.
But they sent this to you, and they had time to appeal it or say it wasn't right.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Then they didn't. Now they're coming forward this year since they had to pay the bill and said, oh, it's not there now.
Did they file the amended returns that we have copies of?
Yeah, I think that's what they filed. That's what they sent us anyway. I think they sent it to Dawn and us. So they're saying, yeah, the only thing they have is I think that it says Wayne Inkiki or whatever, and that's supposedly Scott Boskay. I don't understand that one at all. Because that's Scott Boskay's address. Not even sure which Kevin's is. His, it's a combine or something.
So it's kind of like living in Nebraska and having South Dakota plates on your car?
Yeah. And we do make him provide a document that says, hey, I'm leasing a building. And Kevin did, but whatever. And Scott has too. But
they have, they did have time to do this. And
so I guess it's up to you guys, whatever you want.
How many dollars are they talking about?
Oh, it's a $300,000 tractor.
Well, I understand, but what's the tax amount?
$600
$600
Whatever. Roughly. I mean, I'm sure it's... Kevin's is a $375,000 Rogator. So don't tell me he doesn't use that.
What is it?
A Rogator. A sprayer.
Rogator or a sprayer.
That's got to be there most of the year at his house. I wouldn't think that'd be something you'd store.
Do you have to have proof of ownership of ground or leases of ground?
We make it, like, if they're, say they're leasing a piece of a shed, or we make them provide a lease in Iowa if they're storing equipment over there.
But like this here, I mean, you would actually have to have farm ground in Iowa to use this, right? I mean,
he says he's storing it.
So it's when you do a federal return and they list their personal equipment.
Scott or Kevin wouldn't list it on here since they're reporting it on theirs. This is the lease company, so the lease company's reporting it. He doesn't report it.
So it's a lease piece of equipment. So the leasee is it, so the whoever you're leasing it from is it isn't that who owns it then?
Right.
That's why
I'm asking for the refund.
Mm-hmm. AGCO's asking for the.
They paid $22,000. Anyone?
$375.
What was that amount due?
Oh, I don't know. That might be. That's everything they have in that tax district. That's not just his.
Value says $168,000 total value.
And that might be with depreciation. I didn't figure it out. Because it's a Rogator, $375,241.
So AGCO is the one who's asking for the money for equipment that they
leased to
add over here to farmers over here.
Yep.
But
it's like a copier lease.
Yeah.
So if they paid the taxes on it, what does it matter where the equipment was?
Well, that's the whole key, is where the equipment, where it's at.
Well, they paid it, that $2,200.
But they're wanting a refund saying it wasn't here.
Because the whole thing?
They said it wasn't here.
On his, anyways. They're working on the other one.
Well, they want the whole thing back.
Well, so far they want just Kevin's, but they asked about Scott's, too. We haven't heard back from them on that one. That's a separate one.
And then you take also another one?
I don't know. I think Greg's is gone. I think he got rid of his lease. I think his lease is up.
So the company basically didn't know for sure where they even had it and went ahead and paid the taxes. They knew they had it somewhere.
Yeah, well, and I don't understand that. I mean, if we send them and why they didn't respond within the 30 days and now a year later, it wasn't there.
Is it clear in the letter that we have 30 days? I
mean, well, it does when we send it back to them.
But I think the statute allows for...
ask for a refund, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
For amended returns.
Yep.
Right. So, and I think they've done that. I mean, right?
They
Christy?
Haven't
I mean,
provided anything to us besides this that says where this piece of equipment is either. That was the other thing.
They haven't?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Well, if they leased it and then it went back to when they weren't using it, went back to the dealership. Like right now, you know, this spring's over.
Yeah.
And if they had it leased and went back to the dealership and then they leased it again the next year, it wouldn't be in their possession.
Yeah, he says he's had it since 2020, though.
The same one?
Mm-hmm.
So Chrissy, in your opinion then, have they given you what they need to do?
Well, I guess, according to the state, they wrote a letter to the treasurers claiming clerical error, but I'll do whatever you want me to. I mean, I just think they're just going to start pulling this more and more.
Well, I mean, I really, if they've done, yeah, and I hear what you're saying,
yeah.
But if they've done what they need to do, and we really have no...
proofs that they did.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really... Like
on farm equipment, the state should have something stating that you should actually have a lease on farm ground or own farm ground in that state to do that, though. I would, but they don't, do they?
So Nebraska farmers are leasing equipment from Iowa. And
or leasing buildings and saying, oh, no, I keep it there.
That way they don't have to pay the personal property taxes. Mm-hmm. It's getting to be a lot of money for as much as equipment costs. And
oh, I see.
It'd be just like you buying a new Subaru and getting an address in South Dakota, so you don't have to pay the fees to license in Nebraska because South Dakota is so much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually stating that on January 1st, the piece of equipment was not in their possession.
Yeah.
And if it's not there January 1st,
like 6 months out of the year,
they don't have to claim it on their...
If it's not there the majority of the year, they're saying they don't have to claim it.
Now it's majority.
I think it's 6 months or majority of the year.
And do they have to show proof of the lease of where the building's at and where the equipment...
We got a copy of the lease.
On the piece of equipment?
Mm-hmm. Well, he has a lease in Iowa on a building.
Oh, he does?
Can anybody drive by and just take a look and see?
We found it on the map in Iowa.
It's a big building?
Mm-hmm. It's not huge, but it's a building.
Big enough to play a role.
Well, but you don't do any enforcement or anything. I mean, you can't...
We could send Randy out, but like he wants to do that. I mean, it's a waste. It's not a waste of time, but
well, it's kind of after the fact now too.
But basically, they could park it in there for January 1st and
then bring it back and use it, and then take it back.
So I mean, it's a loophole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, buy one license of my truck instead of paying $1,800, whatever, it'd be $100. Buy one in South Dakota. Gotta go do it. You should live there, you know, permanently.
So, Chrissy, the item here reads that you're requesting approval for clerical error.
Yeah, I just have to have approval to do
it. Okay. All right, I'll make a motion that we approve the clerical error.
I'll second.
Is there a way to prevent this from happening again?
No, it's all self-reporting and it's they have to report to her what it is and you know if you tell her you have a piece of equipment that's sitting in Iowa January 1st, that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
You might bring it
we
back January 2nd,
but at least, that's it.
It's kind of a game, Larry.
Well,
kind
know,
of a game.
I know. Right now.
But they're doing what they need to do and if I don't know if sometime the whether it's revenue or somebody would question it then it's not something that we enforce or physically go inspect.
Yeah.
Correct?
We can, but you don't have time.
I'll second it. Are you ready to second it?
Yep. Yeah. So I'll call roll. Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
I
think
Larry. Yes.
Okay.
Item.
Is BNC the same one?
No, it's a tax roll correction for. I have a 9965 and 9966. It's two homestead exemptions the state sent me to correct. They lowered.
Okay, so
hold
BNC.
On. BNC.
BNC. And what we approved? You to correct the clerical error. Now I think they need to make a motion to
request a refund.
Oh, refund. Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll make that motion.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
A second.
I was on D.
Robert and Troy do the refund to A co-finance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Under new business, D,
Oh, sorry, here we go. These are the tax roll corrections. These are homestead exemptions they corrected. 9965 said the Department of Revenue corrected from, they were giving him 20%, they've given him zero now. And 9966 is they're reducing it from 70% to 50%. So I went ahead and did those.
You feel like that's legitimate?
I had no say on that whatsoever.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve the tax list corrections.
I'll second.
So both of these are directed by the state. They're the ones who look at the their revenue and stuff.
Yeah, they're doing auditing.
Okay. And again, it's the same kind of the same thing. They tell Christy, they fill out the form in her office, what the percentage is. The state reviews it, and if there's a change, they come back and like, well, in this case, they both went down. So that's usually the way it goes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Item 3, mail and emergency business.
None.
Number 4, public comment. Number 5, adjournment.
All right. Thank you, Larry. It's 3:06, so we'll go right into the Board of Commissioners meeting. First, roll call, Joan. That's all right.
Robert Gacy.
Here.
Scott Love is absent. Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious.
Here.
Troy Lonsy.
Here.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The first item on the agenda is public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear comments about any item not on the agenda, and the chair has the discretion to limit the time of comment. Anybody public comment on any item not on the agenda? Don?
I was just wondering what the status is of the alarm for the button system. That's going to notify law enforcement if
the panic buttons.
Yeah, the panic buttons.
The as far as I know, the it's been the bid has been awarded to a company. I don't know who it is, but I don't know what their time. I mean, I'm assuming it's ASAP.
Okay. I was just wondering because I know the phones got installed and they're doing the fobs and things.
Yep. I know it's been awarded, so I don't know if they're just haven't, you know, if they're busy. I'll reach out to them though.
Okay.
I haven't heard a word. Have you, Joan, heard anything?
About a month ago, at least.
Yeah, but I know it's been awarded, Don.
Okay. All right.
The bid has been accepted and awarded.
Okay. So. Thank you. I wanted to bring up something, too, regarding the situation when there's a federal holiday closing and the courthouse isn't closed at that time. I don't know if other departments have issues we do in the back in our department. When the state is closed, when the banks are closed, we don't have access to our reports in the mornings to do our balancing. So it does affect what happens with our department. We're unable to process our ACH payments for our credit card transactions that are done at the window for the prior day, and they don't show up into our bank account, so we can try to do that at that time also. We're unable to get any change, you know, because the banks are closed and we can't deposit money in a timely manner. And not that I'm for closing at the time that the state is closed, but it's nice if we are aware of the situation and how much more work it does create for our office in the back. Gentlemen, I don't know if you run into problems in your department. Nope. I don't know if Christy does or any of the other departments do, but if we have problems with registrations, anything to do with vehicles, we can't call the state regarding that because they're closed also. So I just wanted the, I know it's time to review the legal holidays coming up, and I just wanted to make the board aware of, you know, some things that do affect us and our department when the state's closed and banks are closed. And
the banks aren't closed hardly. I'd be interested to see their holiday list.
Yeah, I know it's...
But just the one we just had, was it...
Columbus Day.
Yeah.
The banks were closed.
Yeah, they were. Yep. And none of their ACH deposits. We couldn't print reports regarding any ACH deposits or anything. And they were closed. So it does affect a lot of, you know, things in the back in the treasurer's office when it comes to getting our job done in a timely manner. So
yeah, and that's always, that's been a problem ever since, you
yep.
know, with and if you ever need support, whether it's state or, and I know that MIPS closes also on the state, when the state is closed, a lot of times. So you just pray that nothing happens.
Yep.
During that day, because we'd be,
yeah, we'd have support for marriage licenses.
We'd be hurt, but yeah. No, I get it. So yeah.
Okay,
that's a good point.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks.
Anyone else? Item not on the agenda. Step right up. Ron.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to all the commissioners and other people who supported Mom for the possible road, the North Fork Road, and, you know, dedicating to her and stuff like that. So thanks a lot. Appreciate that. The second item on the agenda, I really think perhaps been discussed before, but with the pipeline coming through, I think we need to be thinking about, we have some, you know, given the fact that it is, I'm not going to go into the plus or minuses. I'm just going to say is that, say it goes through, we need to have some stipulations. Like, we added some zoning. We need to have protection for our firefighters. We need to have protection for the level of digging, et cetera, and so on. So there's a lot of things that we have got to set in place. We've got to say, okay, here, guys, this is what we need to have first from the county before you even go further ahead with your first shovel of dirt.
Yeah, and I think, Ron, that January is going to be some, the P&Z or zoning are going to come with some...
Tomorrow night they have their hearing. If you want to go out to the road shop tomorrow night,
okay, sure.
They'll have their hearing, I think, on CO2 pipeline, right?
So yeah.
So yeah, I had heard that January was going to be when those initial regs would come to us.
Okay. Yeah,
as a board.
Yeah, I thought it was sooner than that too, but yeah, I thought after the hearing, then it was going to be presented to us, which would be another
November.
But I could be wrong. Maybe it changes since the last meeting. I don't know.
Oh, that's just what I, some for some reason, that sticks in my mind, Larry. But anyway.
But some of those things you suggested are no bad idea. I it wouldn't hurt to make certain they're in there.
Yeah, right.
I guess my feeling is that I don't feel they should be able to condemn someone's land.
Right.
So I'm not real happy about it anyway. So. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, just some, you know, like stipulations that going through, like, okay, say abandonment, okay, you know, what are they responsible for? At this point in time, I don't think they're responsible for anything.
That's been discussed.
That's been discussed as well, but okay, but I still, we want to have it in writing and
sure,
before
absolutely.
We go forward. So.
Absolutely.
I think you could probably get a copy of where it's at right today if you get a hold of Joe O'Neill.
Sure. Okay.
The draft of it.
I'll just show up at the meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, okay. Great.
Yeah, and what time is it, Joan? Do you know the meeting?
Seven.
Yeah, I was at
7 tomorrow night at the road.
Yeah, I was at the previous
okay.
meeting.
Okay, anybody that wants to go?
Yeah, the other one.
Okay.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
And I did, by the way, I did talk to Jolene with the road department, and she has the specs for the sign.
Excellent.
I haven't seen anything back yet, but I think we have a plan, and we'll keep you posted.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. Yes, sir. Name and address for the record.
Walt Beerman, Lake Huron Avenue.
Welcome.
City. I don't know if the Hubbard Road is at Am Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be discussed tonight or?
A little bit at the end. Well, but it's not on the agenda. But yeah, go ahead if you want to discuss
well,
that.
Well, my idea was to not spend $3 million on a road project that basically goes to two entities. One's a state park and the other's a developer. when there are the possibility of other options,
mm-hmm.
instead of going over the mountain with these trailers to go to the lake on it. And I think some of you probably know where that road is. As you come out of Hubbard going south, you can the first road you can turn east, it's only about 900 feet to the crest of the hill, and that hill's only about a 3% grade.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think the $3 million is that the proposal. There's some ADPA
variables
for what 7/10 of a mile of it, the way it reads on there. But that's still a lion's share county what's pick up, and I guess I don't like the risk of a developer putting that on the taxpayers. Most developers pay for their first construction in a road like Don Pringer did when he put his division in there, and then he started building homes. Then mm-hmm. you can start collecting mm-hmm. taxes instead of the county taking up the risk.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussions going on about the road right now, and you're right. The $3 million. I think if we said today that it was going to be $3 million, we wouldn't do it. And that's just my opinion. Because we initially started off, we thought it was closer to one, and that was 4 years ago, and we didn't really get to the final stages of that. But anyway, it's escalated, and just like everything else. $3 million, we don't have that kind of money. So anyway, if you want to stick around later for some of the discussion, you can. But if you want, we'll talk about it again.
Okay. Well, you guys probably got that map all patched around. I got a little marked red where that road would be out of the town there.
All right.
That is a nice alternative.
I think so.
Yeah, we've talked to them about it.
Thank you. Anyone else for anything not on the agenda? Nope? All right. Then moving on to item number two, the consent agenda, which consists of the approval of previous meeting minutes, October 3rd, 2022, approval of payroll claims, approval of accounts payable claims, approval of officials reports, register of deeds, county clerk and clerk of district court, and the sheriff jail quarterly report for July.
We did not get the sheriff jail quarterly report.
I think we did. That was in my packet.
Well, I didn't have one.
The quarterly report. That's the jail report.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's that.
So no sheriff.
Yeah.
No quarterly report.
Got it.
Troy and I went through the accounts payable and also payroll today. There is one particular claim for payroll that I would ask. That we'll pull out and discuss so we can approve everything else or discuss that now. Kim, we pull out the one payroll
yep.
claim now
yep.
and discuss it?
Yep.
Or first?
Yeah, before you approve. Yep.
Before. Okay. So the one payroll claim that we do have that I would like to discuss was for Tammy Peterson in the extension office. Troy and I looked over those. Troy, comments from the discussion on that one?
Well, I guess the budget committee would kind of, I wasn't on the budget committee, but it was 3% is what everybody was, or what you were thinking, right?
That's what was approved.
So I guess unless there's somebody changed places or stepped up or have some more time or whatever, I guess I would think you'd just keep it the 3%.
Yeah, there was no class change or anything like that. And she was up on her longevity increase and pay last year, and did get the 3% that was approved with our budget this year. So, so Troy, we need a motion on that.
I'd make a motion to keep it the 3%.
I have just a question that I was thinking about after I was reading through that. Why is she the only one that we, why doesn't the state cover, if it's an extension, what they pay for all the rest of the salaries? Why do they not contribute towards that salary? So it's even, I'm not saying the level or anything, but it should it be shared with the state? Or is there a reason why that one, that's the only position that we fund?
I can't answer that.
Seems kind of unusual, you know? But, yeah, that'd be my thought. If they want more, I mean, maybe we should look to the state.
If they get more staff, the county would pay for more staff. There's a lot of counties that pay two or three staff members for the extension office.
Okay.
But they get, they just have the one.
So,
I hate to be ignorant. What is a, what's the function of it, of the individual? What, I mean, what do they do? I guess, I mean, I've always heard about it. I just don't know what it is, the extension department.
They're involved in a lot of, for instance, they work with the orchard in South Sioux, just a lot of things that they're involved in. They have specific programs that they do. I wish Carol was here to explain all that they do. I mean, I'm sure she'd have a list of...
she comes once a year.
But there's one person works there?
There's quite a... There's a staff of...
No, Carol Larvik is the director.
Five.
They have four or five staff people. They're over in the building over here by the...
USDA
office. Thank you, Joan.
Yeah, we pay like $9,000.
But they're all paid by the state. They're all paid through the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Except for Tammy.
But last year, I think her, it said she had 17 years. Last year, we gave her a pretty significant bump, I think.
She had 6% last
related,
year.
Plus, mm-hmm. plus the 3 or something, wasn't it?
Right.
They're asking for 5.5 this year.
So she got over 9, right at 9.
The office space rents $9,000, which
mm-hmm.
they can't be here in the courthouse and not pay anything. They're going to have to pay nothing.
They just have never been here.
And then
for a while.
It used to be.
It appears like the gross payroll is $80. Is that attributed to, well, it's got some office supplies and equipment, computers. It was a pretty big item. I was sort of... $3,000 for this year. It looks like that. I guess we pay $3,200 back in 2021. 21 and 22 is $4,000. This year is $3,000.
That was what was laying on top of our packet.
So I don't know. We had computers every year. What your if the state was financing the operation, I would think they'd buy the computers for us.
So, Troy,
they buy some of the computers. It's statute. It's written in the statutes that we
provide them with that.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
Yep, and pay those travel expenses. So this travel expenses is for UNL employees at $6,500. It's not just Tammy. So we pay all their expenses for what they do for Dakota County.
So their rent and everything,
They're teaching classes on food safety. They're, working with the kids on those projects for, what they call, Legos and computers, and they do a... They work with a lot of youth, and then they do the 4-H. They support and run you know, the 4-H programs. So that's everything. Everything they do for Dakota County, we pay for. Plus, we pay for Tammy's salary.
I got a call here past week that the individual taxpayer was pretty irate about the fact that we pay like $140,000 for a fair and don't bring in no revenue. Is this part of it?
We don't pay anything for the fair.
According to him, we do. But
well, the taxpayer does.
Yeah.
It's not through the county. Some of the counties own the fair buildings and stuff, but we don't. If they levy their own separate levy. You just approved Ag Society levy and it went down, right?
I think
or
so.
Or stayed the same.
That would stay the same, I think.
So they levy their, so the taxpayer does pay for Ag Society and the fair.
Roundabout way.
So Troy, then your motion then would be to keep at the 3%?
That would be.
Okay, so we need to vote on that separate. I'll second that. For Tammy.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
I'm wondering with the Zelle, now that we have Zelle, can maybe, I don't know what's on their list of things to do, is that something they could look at? You know, we did a little bit of a salary study last summer, whenever we worked on that handbook. You know, it might be another year or so to do that again just to kind of figure out.
I think their list is growing.
I bet it is.
Anyway, so I will then the rest of the consent agenda items, we need a motion then to approve those.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes, the payroll claims as and accounts payable and the official reports, except for we don't have the GL, so that one we can't approve.
Right.
I'll second.
Okay, a motion by Janet, seconded by Troy. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, item 3 under new business is Dylan Northrup, affordable health care and payroll package presentation. Welcome back, sir.
How are you guys today?
All right.
Ready for summer to come back?
Yeah.
After waking up this morning? So I was in probably 2 months ago and kind of talked to you guys about the CHAMP plan that AffordaCare runs. But after listening to kind of your guys' health insurance claims, I'd like to throw my hat in the ring for that as well, too. So kind of I put together a total package for the county. Just to give you a little bit of background, AffordaCare Insurance, they're based out of Dallas, Texas. I'm a part of their brokerage. They account for a quarter of the group business health insurance actually in the country. They're about 31,000 agents strong. So when it comes to negotiating, we have a lot of power. And when you guys are searching for your health insurance, I saw that you're only searching for either fully insured plans or self-insured plans. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's actually a third type of plan out there that would suit you much better, which is a level funded plan. So with a fully insured plan, all they do is they take the age of your clientele and the company goes in blind and you get the worst case scenario rate. Okay, but it has a stop loss company. With a self-insured plan, which is what you guys run currently, correct?
Partially
self-insured. So you guys have seen that, you know, if you have major claims, your rates are going to go up because everybody else has to pick that up. With a level funded plan, it actually has a stop loss company who's going to pick up those claims. So it's not going to be on the entire, you know, the rest of the employees if there was a major claim. And it's also going to have a return of premium. So it's one of the only health plans on the market that if the county went the entire, you know, year with no major claims, you'll actually get a third of the premiums paid in back. Which, I mean, you can imagine how much that would be for the county. And what we do is we actually do a health assessment of the employees. So it's just three pages of documentation, and they actually run the prescriptions that those employees are on. So we can give you the best rates in the market because we know how healthy the group is, right? Any other company, they're just going in blind because all they know is the date of birth of that employee, and that's it. So our insurance premiums are quite a bit lower than anybody else on the market. We do run our underwriting through Allstate Benefits, so everybody knows Allstate, right? A lot of people don't realize that the back half of that company, they actually do health insurance, and they're very good at it. So when you combine that, our Affordicare with our CHAMP plan, the last 4 years, our renewal increase is 0.0%. We just don't see increases because the CHAMP plan is going to offload a lot of those would-be claims that would go to your health insurance. Now it's going to be charged to Champion Health. Just to give you a recap of the CHAMP plan a little bit, it's a pre-tax deduction, so it saves the county per employee $573 per year. So 100 employees, right? That's about $60,000 a year right off the top that I would save you guys in payroll taxes. It's going to increase every person's paycheck about an average of $125 a month. So you're going to be able to give your the employees a pay increase. And the way the economy and stuff is right now, we actually, I just quoted a 40-person construction company the other day. My premiums were $414 an employee. When we added the CHAMP plan, it actually raised every employee's paycheck $250 a month. So now we provided a health insurance plan for $150 a month that was a $1,500 deductible and an $8,000 max out of pocket. Then we saved the business with that payroll tax deduction. He picked up the rest, so basically we offered the 40-person construction company a free health plan at a $1,500 deductible. This CHAMP plan is run in major corporations all the way down to your mom and pop shops. They run it in different counties. We just can't get it to people fast enough, basically. The reason that I bring up that it's through major corporations is it's been vetted by the IRS multiple times. It does have a patent on it, so we're the only company out there that can run this type of plan. It's exclusive to our brokerage. It also provides a ton of benefits for the employees, so free primary care, free urgent care visits, unlimited prescription drugs. So tier one and tier two drugs are now $0. And then anything higher is usually $1. It's also, the whole reason that this plan was designed is to get health care in front of the employees before bad things happen, right? So the guy who designed this, his dad, he took him to the doctor and he had stage four cancer, just like that, right? You hear that all the time. So once a month, the employees are going to be asked to do a health assessment. It's a three-minute video or quiz or something like that. And Mayo actually has designated doctors who review those quizzes that are sent in, and they will actually reach out to the employees and say, hey, you know, you should think about going to the doctor. This is kind of concerning. And what that does is it offloads it from our healthcare system because we're getting things. It's more of a preventative style healthcare than it would be your insurance, okay? The next thing that I wanted to present to you is a payroll solution for you guys. I know you guys, you know, I brought that up in your last meeting. So through Affordicare, I have a ton of partnerships. One of them is Payroll Vault. They're a you know, national franchise. So I went to them with kind of you know, the cops and the two places that don't have Wi-Fi. And what they said was they can actually run a geolocation through the cruiser's laptop. So they could log in and clock in straight through any cruiser's laptop. Not only could they clock in and out from there, but it would give location if you guys chose that as well, too. The other thing is the two county sheds that don't have Wi-Fi, you could just buy, you know, $150 tablet to be placed there. You could run off of 4G and we could upload our program to that. And then they would come down and set up all your biometric, you know, for clocking in and out, everything. And with the offset of the CHAMP plan that you're going to save in taxpayers, I'm basically going to offer you a payroll solution for free. So basically, it would be one total package altogether that my brokerage could provide for you guys. The other thing is using Payroll Vault. They're a local franchise. The guy that I deal with is out of Sioux Falls. It's not going to be a 1-800 number that you guys would need to call for any solutions. He would actually be the one to come down and set everything up for you guys as well. The other thing is, I can't imagine the time that it takes for paper time clock right now. The only thing that would be required is once a week, whoever you guys designate, maybe that's the HR department or whatever, they just have to go in and check the punches. So they just click a button, okay, they verified this, then they send it off, and that company would take care of everything else. Not only would it save you guys, you know, a ton of time checking over payroll, but the mistakes and everything else. I mean, if you factor in 100 people at 5 minutes, you know, that they round it to the nearest place, I mean, I added that up over 52 weeks. That's about $40,000 the county is, you know, missing out on. And that's just human nature. You're going to round to the nearest, you know, 5 minute, right? That's just our human nature. So I think you guys owe it to the taxpayers to, you know, implement that. When I approached this payroll company with, you know, this county still does paper, they kind of chuckled on the phone. I think you guys owe it to the county to be able to do that. They run this in multiple police departments, fire departments. A lot of their companies are like plumbing or HVAC. They can actually set it up to how long that HVAC person is at each house or however. They can basically design whatever type of system that you want, and they will work directly with your new HR company as well too. So,
gotta love that technology.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2022. They're doing paper hours is kind of crazy. So, but basically, I would be a total package. I'd provide payroll for free with the tax savings from the CHAMP plan, and there'll be plenty left over. He ran just kind of a quick quote on what payroll would kind of cost. He thought somewhere around $15,000 a year. So with the CHAMP plan, you're still gonna, you know, you're about $60,000 that it's saving the county in payroll taxes. So you're still, you know, what, $45,000 ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So, plus the increase to everybody's paycheck. I mean, right now, I can't tell you another person who couldn't use an extra 100, 200, 300 bucks a month, right? And basically what I need from you guys is just kind of permission to fill out a census. I can get you quotes, and I can present numbers to you exactly what it would be. I don't have to wait, you know, for your renewal or anything like that. There is some sensitive information on the census. We do need their W-4 information, so, and their gross paycheck, because there's only so much tax deduction that one person can get through the government. So we do need their W-4 information filled out on the census, but then I can provide exactly what that person's paycheck and how much it's going to increase.
Are you doing any other counties around here?
Not any other counties yet, no. So my plan is to roll this out to a bunch of them.
Cities or?
No, so just to give you a background, I started this about 5 months ago, actually. I do a ton of construction companies because that's where, you know, my background was. My dad owns a construction company in town. So that's been my primary focus, and you guys are the first county that I've kind of rolled this out to. After I sat in the meeting, you know, last month, I tried to present a total solutions package to you guys.
But you don't have an office, right? You don't have an office to go to right around here.
No, I work.
Sioux Falls is the closest?
Yep, Sioux Falls would be our closest. For payroll vault, yes. Yep, they're our closest. But, I mean, they can come down, I mean, walk you through anything. They're plenty open to the idea of this, so. And they run other counties, and like I said, they'll work directly with your HR company. They can even put it right into the time clock that, you know, when someone clocks in and out, they check a box that says, I have read the employee handbook and agree to all the rules and regulations through it. They can do pretty much whatever they want as far as design. So,
well, it's interesting. I appreciate you coming today. I'm not sure we're going to get to anything, but I mean, you know, like anything else we do, we're willing to listen, you know, to your ideas. So maybe at some point here in the near future, if we have some more time to sit down and talk to myself, Joan would probably be involved. You know, I don't any other. Well, one more board member, if you want to, we can discuss that. I know from the insurance, you know, our Zelle, our company is helping us getting some of that. So that's in the background, the works on that, that RFP for insurance.
So could I possibly work with Zelle to you know, get you guys a quote? Because, I mean, no offense, I'll be the cheapest with the best benefits.
Yeah. So and I think Zelle, I mean, yeah, I mean, I have no problem doing that. I mean,
and they put out an RFP. Can anybody?
Right.
Anybody?
We
can
have to put out an RFP. Yeah. The board has to approve an RFP before we can do a census.
Okay.
With all the stipulations.
And then I'm assuming we're doing that, right? Zelle was going to help us work with that. So
yeah. Yeah.
We'll make sure you're on the list.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Yep, no problem.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. Moving on to item 4, miscellaneous. Jolene Goebbels is here with her highway superintendent road report. Jolene?
Hello.
Hello.
All right, Jolene.
We have 352 hours of grading, 6 hours on tree removal, 58 hours hauling, gravel hauling. We hauled 239.35 tons of 1.5-inch concrete on the roads, 23.5 hours on sign repair, and we had grading requests for Mills Road and 110th Street. Any questions?
Jolene, how did that, what did we use for the mowing? Is that a shredder? That we've
used?
Mulcher. Or the mulcher?
Mm-hmm.
And it worked fine?
Yeah. I haven't been out there. He said it did a good, decent job. It was more weeds than grass, so that's why
yeah.
it kind of helped. But
yeah.
if it was just grass, it wouldn't have been that efficient.
So that was the one area off of on C Avenue. We talked about also about
152nd Street.
Right, right. That, did we do that as well?
I believe so.
Okay.
They went up on Ireton, too. Did a few cedar trees there.
Okay.
Yeah, they took the mulcher out on Quimby as well. They're kind of trying it out in different places. Sounds
okay.
like it's working pretty well.
Okay. Good.
Jolene, it says gravel hauling 58 hours, but he hauled quite a little gravel into the yard and just stockpiled it.
That's what some of that is. I put the 239.35 tons is what he hauled on the road, but he spent 58 hours hauling gravel, which included hauling into the yard.
To the yard.
Yeah, I don't have the yard totals on there because then that just confuses things when we load it and take it back out. Then the gravel's getting on it twice.
I don't know why I thought of it. Do they make a electric motor grader? Is there an electric motor?
Not that I know.
Garden.
They do skid loader. They make an electric skid loader.
They're kind of starting to come out with some, but I think it'd be a ways down the line. I don't.
But there's not one. You're not aware of any?
I don't, to be able to run that large of equipment, I don't.
No, I know. And I knew you would probably know if there was one out there, but.
Like I said, like Troy said, there's kind of some of the smaller equipment I think they're trying to work on. How efficient it is or how long it lasts or what they can do. You know, cars only go so far and
right.
I don't know what type of battery it would take to...
Well, I don't know.
How many multiple batteries it would take to run that large of equipment.
I don't know what it costs to run a... Larry, what's it cost to run a motor grader? Fuel.
Well, probably, I don't know, 5-6 gallon an hour, I would say. You know.
And so,
I can't remember back to my report.
Yeah,
the cost analysis was on the report.
My overall grader, you can grade me.
That's $20,000 a year in fuel.
My overall grader, about 4 gallon an hour. But these big ones, they produce a lot of horsepower, and they're wound up pretty tight when they run the engines because of the smog. It'll keep the smog burned out of the system, you
mm-hmm.
know, burn cleaner, I guess.
Well, I just wondered if there was one out there, and I knew you'd know, so.
I really doubt it. I mean, at this time, I don't think that ever happened. I mean, we're going to have to get a lithium mine going here in the United States to make it work, to make the batteries. China's going to shut us off where we run around with cars with batteries in them, and they go bad, and then we'll have to get rid of the car.
I don't know. See, it sure seems to be the direction that it's going.
Oh, what about help?
Help?
Yeah.
We hired two new people. They seem to be working out really well. We still have one person on light duty.
Is he the janitor right now?
Kind of. He's very limited on what he can do, so just kind of what he's comfortable with at this point. We don't want to push him and injure anything again.
I saw the one person that was hired. It looks like he's going to work out, but he was supposed to be in this area down here, but I see he's down by her down on South Bluff, almost a homer this morning. So, yeah, he's down on 200.
I know Brent's kind of moved some people around, so I'm not quite sure where everybody's at right now. But I'll ask him about
that. Yeah, it don't matter anyway.
Well, as long as they know their districts, we don't want people going where they don't belong.
The gas plant there, it was really bad this weekend. It was bad last week, actually. There's a man down by Bill Roadie's coming out of Homer was pretty rough, too.
Yeah, we're having a lot of trouble with this, how dry it is. It's really a couple counties in the area have just quit maintaining unless it's absolutely necessary because just wasting fuel and blades not really helping the situation too much. Need a little moisture.
You know those blades, I'm wondering, in talking to one of the operators, I'm wondering if those blades we're getting are the hard blades.
They're the carbide blades.
Yeah,
and then I know there's
the blades, and I'm wondering if we're getting the good ones.
We priced them out. It was either earlier this year or last fall. They were about twice the price. So we were kind of, and then we tried some different stuff out with a company up in Sioux Falls with them shark teeth, they call them, for the blades, and that really didn't work. You know, they said that would work better for icy roads and kind of chipping it, stuff like that. But the other blades, it was, you know, they last twice as long as the ones we're using, but they're twice as more expensive.
And
it was just kind of a wash. I don't know what the prices are off the top of my head, but I know we every once in a while will throw out and price out culverts and throw them in there too. And
I hear $145 seems like a blade for some reason. I don't know why I know that better.
Yeah, it is. I think that was the last bit.
So
last
we're
price.
Going across the $250, I guess. And one of the operators said that he showed me the blade. He just had it on that day, and it was about a third of it gone. So he's only going to get about 3 days out of it. And the blades I used to use, I could get 60 hours out of them.
Depends on the operator, how much pressure they're using and what they're doing.
Right.
We got one operator, he would do a very good job and only use 6 blades a year.
Yeah.
We got some that change them every week or about every 3 or 4 days. So
that's a big difference.
It almost made me think you didn't have the blade on the road. Right when I was about half to be. And that has happened. You used to have a guy down around over, he'd drive around the blade up. Curve of the river. Deep in the team down there.
Thanks, Jolene.
Thank you.
All right, you're going down to visit a neighbor down there.
Okay, item B is jail report. Everybody should have that. Does anybody want to read the jail report for the record, or we'll just accept it?
Okay. Yeah. Read the jail report.
Oh, my God.
We got to get you to do it, so.
I'll do it just for the record. First of all, county inmates in August were 98, federal inmates 17, juveniles 37, total in-house 115, 2022 calendar year. County inmates 88, federal 21, juveniles, I guess it's 0.15. Total in-house is 109. Compared to fiscal year 21-22, county inmates 102, federal 17, juveniles 12, total in-house 119. So relatively close to the same numbers from year to year on the federal down, or federal up, actually. Federal income, September marshals were $44,000, ICE $80. For fiscal year, federal marshals were $130,000. 2022 calendar year, federal dollars were $471,990.04. September county contracts, $660. 2022-23 fiscal county contracts, $1,000,000.
$1,485.
Thank you for July and August. July phone commissary.
That top line should be September, I think,
as
well.
I think so, too. And the fiscal year should be 22-23. I'll talk to Elizabeth.
For September, the jail spent $216,000. Jails at 23% of estimated yearly budget, or 8% under budget for fiscal year. The jail was at 15.5% of the total estimated yearly budget in September 2021. The jail spent $40,000 less than allocated for August, which is 16% under budget for the month. September bookings, Dakota County, I think, 43, South Sioux City, PD, 36, et cetera. Let's see, Dakota County.
Nebraska State Patrol,
thank you. CRT South.
Court self
is 10, federal 10, other is 3. I don't know if that's Martians or aliens or what that is. Dakota County, 45, other Nebraska are 14, Sioux City, 33, other Iowas are 7, other states, 4, homeless 1, for a total of 104, for the record. All right. Then moving on to item C, board to appoint voting delegate and alternate for election of officers at the NACO annual meeting on December 9th, 2022. Troy, you're going, correct?
Yes.
So do you want to be our voting delegate?
Sure.
Okay, so I'll make a motion that we approve Troy. Anybody else going? Joan?
Is, Cherie is. Don is.
Anyway, I'll make a motion to appoint Troy Lonsby as the...
And an alternate.
Okay, so Troy as the delegate, and Cherie's not here, so we'll appoint her as the alternate delegate for the NACO convention in December.
So they'll cast our ballot.
Correct.
Second that.
Okay. Motion by myself, seconded by Janet. Call the roll, please. Joan?
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay. Item D is discussion regarding TextMyGov services for Dakota County. Joan and I have had a couple of conversations with this individual from TextMyGov. It's really a cool idea, although it is pretty spendy for Dakota County. But it is, probably a direction that we're going. I'm not sure that we're just going so quickly. So In your information today, you have these numbers. You have this sheet that has a number here. I won't take the time for you guys to go through that today. But so it's pretty self-explanatory. If you, for instance, the numbers here below the keywords are high or pothole or early vote. So if you text those, say, pothole to the this number here, what happens is that triggers then a say something from the, whether it's road department or in Joan's office, something to do with elections or something like that. So
so it's live right now if you want to do it.
Yeah, if you want to do it right now, Larry, whip that iPhone out. And,
yeah, it's in my truck. I'm charging.
But anyway, you can do it right now. So you get a response now. Okay, so for instance, if you want to know, or you want to report a pothole, you can text it to a number. It'll go to the road department. They'll have it, which is pretty neat. You have a question about where can I vote? You know, that'll go to Joan's office, or what items do I need for a driver's license? You can text that to the DMV, and you'll get an automatic response from that.
Basically, it's cut down phone calls, right?
Right, right.
I mean, as well.
So it really, but the problem is you have to build this whole database.
Get people to use it.
And get people to sign up, which they are more than willing to help us do. But the cost is, Joan, just off the top of my head, it's like $4,500 initially.
A year.
A year. I knew there was a year part. So it's pretty costly, you know.
$2,250 one time setup.
Right, so. $2,250 one time setup. So there's a lot of questions that could be answered by people doing this. You know, more and more the technology now is cell phones. You know, it's becoming more old fashioned to have to go look up something on a website to go on Joan's website and find out about early voting. Where now you could just text and get that. So also what this can do so we as a county then could send text messages out the other way to people, like in a couple of weeks, don't forget to vote. We're closed next Monday. And that would go out to all the people that have signed up. But
so every individual in the county can sign up for this thing?
If they wanted to.
At what cost to them?
Well, no cost to them. It's the cost is all on the county. But
no matter how many people use it, only costs that 40 or whatever.
I believe so. But it's pretty
still have those individuals that, you know, can't even hardly turn on one of these high-tech phones.
And, oh.
You know, I mean, there's older people out there that don't have a computer, they don't have a phone, they got their phone on the wall.
No,
you
I know.
What I mean?
I get that. But there's, I was going to call, I didn't get a chance. One of the counties that they are currently in is Cherokee County in Iowa.
Okay.
So, you know, I was going to reach out.
What if their ground sells for $26,250 an acre? Plymouth County just did.
I know, I
saw
that.
That's a record. Gee, I might add 100 acres to that. So
when they say implementation setup fee, I mean, we did something like this at the college, and it was a lot of background work. I mean, each office has to put in a lot, because it's
right.
Kind of like a robot. You ask right. a certain question, it responds.
Yeah.
We almost have to build a conversation. But
yeah.
I did reach out to the department heads, and there was no interest.
Because, I mean, it takes a lot of effort on the part of
Yeah, you. But the good thing is, I guess, along those lines, is you only have to do it once.
Yeah.
And you're done.
Well, you
but
when things change, about every 6 months, you have to go, like, when
right.
change when fees
right.
change, when seasons change.
So, you know, I envision it as kind of what they do now for, say, Amber Alerts or for things, you know, where they could just blanket send out something like that to everybody.
Uh-huh.
Well,
that
this
wasn't really part of it. That wasn't
no,
really what
this,
were,
yeah. this, well, you have to build the base.
Yeah.
You have to do that. And it takes, so that is, I guess, my two cents on text-to-my-gov. I mean, it's a good idea in theory, and we can certainly, the board, you know, if this is something you think that we want to pursue, we can do that. It's about, so 6,000 initially, and that, and then there's all the work of building the base. And then it's $4,500 a year to do that.
And they promote it. You sign out something that they can put their widget on your homepage, and your you know, so that everybody.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's really the direction. I think that you know, I think something that would be pretty cool is if the, you know, that we send a lot of mail out from the courthouse, and that costs a lot in postage, and it costs a lot in supplies to do that. You know, Joan with her elections, treasurer with tax statements, things like that. If we could send tax statements to everybody through a text message, and I don't even know if the state statute would allow that, but there you go, you just saved all that money and all those costs. Or just a reminder to somebody, you know, don't forget to pay your taxes, et cetera, et cetera. But I see it good from that standpoint that we can send those out. But again, it's $4,500 a year, and we got to build that base.
We were talking to Chair Keith, see how they're doing with it. But yeah,
right. I'd like to see how many they have. I thought they said since early this year they got Cherokee County, Iowa on board. So I think I'm going to reach out to them. And if you guys get a chance, you can text to that number and see what the response is. So it's real time. It's real time. So. Any other thoughts on that, anybody, or we'll just move on just for information at this time? Okay, we'll move on. Item E is approved projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan relief funding. The one item that came back from last month's meeting, we asked Kevin to get with the folks and the asphalt, and he did, we got one of the ones Kevin said that they we had a bid from Franks and Barclay. One of them used I think GPS to measure where we're looking at doing over by the old fire hall. I think Frank's, that might have been Barclay. Frank's, somebody came back and remeasured it. Everybody has this from those guys on there. And Frank's is the correct measurement of 5,200 square feet at $3.20 a square foot. I don't have the actual dollar amounts. Joan, do you have those? So Frank's. So Frank's is 16.8, and the measurement is correct at 5,200 square feet. So, any other questions on that? Otherwise, I would make a motion then to approve Frank's on that asphalt project. Seconded by Larry. Call the roll, please, Joan, if there are no other questions.
Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry? Troy?
Yes.
Okay. Item 5, Commissioner Committee Reports. Janet, anything?
I guess since we've met last, we did have the household hazardous waste collection. And I got the preliminary results just the other day. 141 vehicles between the three sites, Jackson, Lyons, and Wisner. So, and Jackson, that day we counted, and we had about 45 vehicles. So it was, looked like each site maybe got around 40, 45 vehicles. But it was a good, successful collection.
Good. Anything else?
No, we did. I did listen in on it with Siouxland Connections. What is it? Greater Siouxland Connections, GCC. Anyway, it was very a lot of good data about Dakota County. So if you get a chance to look at that booklet, you know, different trends as far as, you know, health trends, which were kind of, some of them were kind of concerning actually. There's a new data book that was just released.
Growing.
I knew it was GCC. Growing Community Connections,
okay.
Yeah. There was a good data book that just came out. Something to take a look at.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope. That's it.
Larry? Anything?
Nope.
Nope. Troy?
Nothing.
Nothing? The only thing I have, I'll save that for later. Item 6, then. Joan, anything?
No.
No. Item 6 is mail or emergency business. And the one item on there is we got a letter, and we'll talk now about the M Avenue project. We got a letter. We reached out to the Department of Transportation on some of the things, or one of the things we were thinking on the reclassification of the road, which would allow the speed limit to come down. And really, so we got a reply from them. We invited them to come to a meeting and discuss, and so we let them know what we were thinking on the M Avenue project potentially. And their response was that we don't come to meetings. If you guys want to come to one of our meetings, you can come to our meeting and discuss that, which is fine. But they kind of in a roundabout way, Jolene, you might want to comment on this. In a roundabout way, they said there are ways that we should do it as a board, and that's through the highway superintendent.
Yeah, we could apply for relaxation of standards. They said you shouldn't try to reclassify a road just to reduce the speed limit. They would not go for that. Basically, their suggestion was to realign the road. That cost wasn't a factor that they considered when making the decision whether to grant the relaxation of standards. It was strictly on safety of the road. Trying to think what else they said. They said they would be more willing to make a deviation from the standards if it was on a curve as opposed to the hill. So it didn't sound very positive.
Yeah, so we... other than cost, we run into obstacles that way too. Walt, did you want to comment any more on the road or any of those issues? I mean, it's something that me personally, I mean, I would like to see it done. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm doing my darnest to keep the, you know, the avenues open to do that. And but again, if it's every, it seems like every time we turn around, it's like, well, you know, it may.
It would be nice to have it paved, but the thing that always kind of bothered me is when they put that lake in, they abandoned a road, which they had to do to build the lake. And then the county paid for building a new road around it. As far as I'm concerned, the county shouldn't have paid for that. It should have been budgeted into that lake or the dam or whatever they needed for that. But this, yeah, it's hard to get over that hill. I got a neighbor that owns that property on the east side, and he don't want it in because he knows it's going to raise his taxes. It can't help but not. But as far as safety, yeah, it might be nice to have that in there, but so far I don't think anybody's had any accidents on there.
Oh, there's been some accidents on there. Yeah, I don't have an accident count, but you know, it's a gravel road. People drive faster than what they should be. And
well, yeah, the speed limit's 55.
50.
Today, 50 today on that road, and yeah, going up over those hills, that's a.
Well, I, on my highway there, in front of my house, it's 55. But the house to the east of me used to have, a month ago, a 55-mile-an-hour sign. It's completely gone. I've been thinking about stopping in and asking Dan where that sign went. But, yeah, I go over there and camp. My kids, they live on that lake. And they don't really have any problem, but yeah, it'd be nice to see it paved. But boy, if the county's got that kind of money, I can think of several other places.
Yeah, and the only, really, honestly, the only reason why it, we're even talking about it, I mean, you're right, in a normal situation, we wouldn't have that kind of money to commit that kind of money to a road like that. But with the ARPA funds that we got $3.8 million as a county, and we can use it for anything we do, and whether it's roads or equipment or things like that. So the good thing is we have time yet to do that. So, but one of the things that, you know, depending on who you talk to, one of the things that jumped up right to the top of the list in my mind was M Avenue. You know, everybody, we've been talking about that. Not me. I've only been on the board for a year and a half, but everybody's been talking about we need to get M Avenue paved. You know, in 18, that was when it first was brought up, and there was some engineer work or estimates on it at that time. To around $1 million, and we didn't have $1 million then to do it. But when we got our COVID money, which we have, or ARPA money, whatever you want to call it, you know, $3.8 million. Well, you know, we as a board and as a county, we're looking at, well, what are we going to spend? You know, I mean. And we had a list. We had an $8 million request for the money that we had. So that kind of thing, M Avenue jumped to the top, or pretty darn near the top of the list. We've done some other paving projects, other smaller projects with that money. So if M Avenue doesn't get done, you know. I personally, I can't tell you, maybe Jolene can, or maybe another board member. I don't know what is the next you know, project in line tomorrow if we switch gears and like, okay, we're not doing M Avenue, but we're going to do X or we're going to do this.
Are we going to build a road for the golf course?
That hasn't even been discussed. That's a 5 mile road.
I know, but it'll be discussed.
Well, I mean, it could. I mean, that could be a discussion item. I don't know how far it'd get.
And the pavement we put over there along the river for the Indian, but I shouldn't use that word. It was all paid. What, didn't the county pay for that?
Hey, you're talking about down the Ho-Chunk Village.
Yeah. Part of it.
I'm sorry.
Part of it.
Veterans Drive.
And C Avenue, too.
Yeah, Veterans Drive. Yeah. Veterans Drive.
From G Street to, or from 39th Street to the Dakota City.
Who paid for that?
County.
Why? That should have been on their bill, not ours.
That's what I thought, too. But I wasn't commissioner at that time. But Bob, you say we wouldn't have no place to spend it. Well, Warren Berman's here today to ask for, you know, for $300,000-$400,000 or something like that to pay that road down there like you want it. There's 15 taxpayers there on that stretch to eat dust daily when the wind's in the south, winter or summer. And then they got the farmsteads up there, there's a mile of paving could be done there. There's 40-some homes that people live there, and they suffer from the dust. And there's some of them older people that can't handle the dust, if you could. And there's other places a guy can spend the money. It ain't like it's all got to go to that mountain over there.
Can you actually tell me who owns the lake?
State.
Papio.
State owns it?
Papio.
State money.
Papio.
Papio, Missouri.
The guy that bought that hangar is claiming that across the lake. Did you know that?
The what?
The place I just sold with that airplane hangar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's claiming that he owned that across the lake.
Oh.
Am I wrong?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with a hangar.
Well, it used to be a hangar.
Like you want a beach. Like you want a swimming area.
Right.
Okay, there's a brown airplane here, pink, yellow.
Oh, I thought you were talking about at M Avenue.
Anyway, those lot lines are all over the place going to that mm-hmm. lake. They're arbitrary if you don't know where they're at because mm-hmm. the stakes are underwater. Mm-hmm. But now we have zero water in that lake.
Yeah.
Which means that taxes should go down.
Well, then, I don't know who owns it or rents it or where the Mexicans had their horse.
The school ground.
Okay.
What you're talking about?
Yeah. Is that belong to the county or the
State? No. That's school land.
So why couldn't they take that parcel and put a camping area in there?
Purchase that? They'd like to sell it.
That'd be one place to go. That's for sale.
Originally that's what it's set up for. Bathrooms and everything, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have bathrooms in there. I had a good visit with the campgrounds, new campgrounds there that they've been Salvation Army. And they told me that their number one sale or why they bought that camp was for the lake. In fact, you're building a boathouse as we speak. And there's no lake there. Mm-hmm. They are diligently working for a grant. Mm-hmm. And I'm helping them work with it because I did a lot of work on Tokoboji on that project up there, fundraising, and actually did the work for them, Mr. Superintendent. But there's a lot to be done. That school ground there has just been kind of an eyesore for quite a while. And they do have all the bleachers going, and they got a big bonfire ready to go on there. But I agree with him. It should be used for something. And that's public access there if they want to open up a gate to it. it's, you know, taxpayers own it for all practical purposes.
The Lackawanna or the?
The state ground, but.
Oh, that ground, okay.
The Salvation Army, they put over 11, right at $11 million into that park to open it up to the whole community. It is gorgeous in there. And I know, I live in Lake, everybody knows that. But I've worked in that project for years. Sort of back when they put the highway project in. And I'm working right now to see how much enthusiasm we get in promote, because we need to bring it back instead of letting it just go into cottonwood trees. I know Rick and Sarah, Governor, called Nebraska the year 2022 for fishing. Well, right now there's no fish in except a little bitty pond at the West End, which has got a lot of fish in a very small pond. And that's something I'm kind of concerned about. If that does go dry, what are you going to do with all the dead fish in there?
Well, one of the, just in a broad sense, one of the things that I think about is what area, if M Avenue is not worth the money for the road out there, then what other area is worth that? Because I see M Avenue as a, there's no question if that road was paved that I think that area would flourish. There'd be homes, you know, more homes built out there around the lake. You know, we've had some discussions with Hubbard about things that they could do if they ever did that. So it, anyway, I just see the potential for that out there.
Yeah, I know I talked to Gene. Anybody know Gene Murray?
Mm-hmm.
He's right across the lake from us on the south side. He's indicated that he would love to put homes all on that side, especially the possibility of bringing the city sewer underneath the lake, if that's feasible or not. And I know I talked to a gentleman that used to do that. He's a piece of cake to punch a pipe underneath that lake on it. And so there's a lot of possibilities of growing a lot of homes. And you know the neat thing about that road, we've got 15 homes there and there's 45 cars, which they don't ask for. But anyway, we have a lot of traffic, and I know I've got a lot of pictures I've handed to you. One, besides the dust, we've kind of semi once a month and we brought it down some, and we're paying extra for that. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is the rumbles that go on there. I took numerous pictures of that. In fact, I got put a new windshield in the back of my SUV. It finally rattled it and busted it up, and now I got to go get that fixed just from the washboarding. And I did some research on that rumbling that goes across there. And what's causing it? Well, the minimum speed you can go so that you don't feel it is 3 mph, and the maximum speed so you don't feel it is 70. So pick one. And I know some of the pictures I had, it went from ditch to ditch. And I think I even gave one to Larry. I said, where would you best drive? In the ditch? But the sad thing is I was probably one of the first guys to start building out there. In, oh boy, would that be in the early 70s? And I didn't have a road. I had a path into that field that was in there. And we didn't get a road there for a year. And now the property owners out there have been there for 50 years. And we've been in this same building many times to do something with that road because we've had everything from floods. The road is less than the heights of the water field, and we've had lakes across the road. Now, they did fix that somewhat. They did put a culvert in and found it clogged up. But washboarding, but they paid taxes out there for 50 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been promised that road is blacktop. since the early 70s, 1973, 74. It was on a three-year plan right out of this office, and they're still moving the goalposts.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think the M Avenue project, it's still on the radar. It's going to be a tough deal. We've spent some of our $3.8 million on some things already, and so that number keeps going down. And I appreciate everybody being here and the input. You know, we got a couple other ideas today on some potential things to look at.
Well, I've got some preliminary prices. It's 4,500 feet to the Highway 20, and at 22 foot wide, I had some preliminary costs of $300,000. And I mean, that's ballpark at 4 inches, but just giving square footage.
Okay, all right.
But again, there's a lot of nice homes out there that are all been paid taxes for 50 years, and it sure would solve them.
Well, most times the ARPA funds are on our agenda, so we can just talk about anything and everything that might have something to do with ARPA. Usually in our meetings we have here, so you're welcome to come back. Anybody, talk to any board member. You know, hey, what about this or what about this or things we do. So.
One of the things that I did some investigating on earlier, when the county got that with the $3.7 million, one of the requirements there was anything connected with the EPA for dust, they would take care of.
Mm-hmm. Well, they changed the rules, so anything we do as a county is government services.
Right.
So anything we do, which from roads to taking care of the courthouse to buying a road grader, buying a, you know, something. So anything we do is.
Well, we had that Moody Road, Jolene. Moody Road and the cemetery entrance. Did the engineer get that stuff to you?
Yeah, he dropped them off this afternoon. So.
Yeah, so we have a lot of things we're looking at. And a lot of things we're doing with that money, but...
Well, probably, but we should get it going because winter's coming, and the sooner we get it done, the sooner we're going to know what it's going to cost, exactly.
Well, anyway, as I said, the ARPA funds are always on the agenda, I think, right, Joan?
Yep.
Always.
Yep.
Always. So, Donna earlier asked about, so we're installing panic buttons in all the offices. We're putting in new key fobs on all the doors. We got a new phone system in the courthouse. Just, you know, upkeep, and none of those are cheap. You know, that's $75,000 just like that. New windows will be next spring for the entire courthouse. So we're doing a lot. We're taking care of the courthouse also. So it'll be here for.
We've done some traffic counts on there. They're running over 200 traffic.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
A day going through there.
Yeah.
I think that's our biggest thing is when you pick a road to work on, the number one thing you look at is traffic.
Right.
Bob, when is a road considered residential? I guess I don't know.
Versus rural?
Versus the county road? Or versus
yeah.
Jolene, do you know?
Because this thing says here, it says beyond 35 mile an hour in a rural area, beyond corporate limits and outside of a residential or commercial district.
I bet, it's probably in the city limits.
But it says, it looks to me like it says, it's the last paragraph, beyond the corporate limits, it says.
You know, there's been some talk with Hubbard about them annexing the road into town. They can lower the speed limit. And that's the big cost, is that speed limit. Well, that's, yeah. But anyway.
One more piece of mail.
Okay, we have one more piece of mail, Joan says. Go ahead.
Just got in office today. Notice is hereby given by the city of South Sioux City that they're going to have a light study hearing October 26th at 2022 at 4 p.m. And it's for 39th and G, where Ho-Chunk is going to put that apartment buildings up.
Okay.
The light study?
Blight.
Blight study.
October 26th, step one. Which is Wednesday at 4 p.m. at City Council Chambers.
No, this is right up along. This is the corner of Brown.
That's the 26th at what time?
26th at 4 o'clock.
26th.
So if you didn't hear that, it's a letter. South Sioux City is doing a blight study on 39th and G next, the 26th at...
They're calling it a redevelopment project, but that's what designated as a blighted and substandard community development project.
Okay.
39th and G, so remember they had that, they bought a land across from, mm-hmm. There's a map here and stuff. Yep, you want to look at it.
South side of 29th going.
Yeah.
Right.
The Cold Avenue, there's apartments and on down, all the way down to, well, I don't know, I think it goes past G Street there.
Okay. Huh. With that, then, we are adjourned. At 4:30.
That's right in the corner that you turn to go to the school.